You're due for your biannual cleaning, something you usually forget and would rather not remember. But you just got a reminder from the Gentle Dentist in Worthington. Call 614-431-3311.
Emoji moment from Sadie, who writes, "I'm not crying, you're crying. This is what I said during my first appointment with my physician at Mochi, because I didn't have to convince him I needed a GLP-1. He understood. And I felt supported, not judged. I came for the weight loss and stayed for the empathy. Thanks, Sadie. I'm Myra Ameth, founder of Mochi Health. To find your Mochi moment, visit joinmochi.com.
Sadie is a Mochi member compensated for her story.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains September 19th through the 24th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? I think I am ready for a solo show once again. The voice is it's coming back, right? It's trying to do its best, but we'll see how it goes. I have way too much stuff to talk about. I've been grinding tape nonstop. I couldn't sleep last night, man. I just couldn't do it. The wifey's out of town. So what's that mean? That means I wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning and I'm like, dude, let's go watch the 49ers all 22. So I've got notes on notes on notes. And if you want to go to catch those breakdowns, those are up on the 49ersrush.com. And those are up on our Patreon page, the Frank Gore tier. You get access to all of them. Go check it out. That's how I feed the family. But yeah, I have way too many notes and I want to kind of centralize this entire show. We're going to talk about more, but rookie development. And so when was the last time that we had all these rookies playing this much? Like, it hasn't ever happened in the Shanahan era, really not even back in 2017 when nobody knew who I was. But that was 1,512 shows ago, I guess 1,511 shows ago. This is episode 1,512 of the 49ers George podcast. Have to say thank you to Corey Robbins, 49ers George, 365, and David Gill, our executive producers of the show. But yeah, we're going to be talking Fred Warner. Duke gets named NFC Player of the Week. We're going to talk about the rookie development of all the rookies that are getting snaps for the 49ers, which there are plenty. And I wanted to walk away because, yeah, 2-0, first place, whatever else. I'm a coach at the end of the day. That's kind of who I am. So I wanted to walk away with what would my coaching points be for every single rookie? What are the positives? There are a lot of positives. What are the things that you have to work on? So I want to go over that. I want to talk Robert Saleh defense, the good and the bad, because it's not always good. There are some issues, and I got some great questions from some listeners that I want to dive in to as well. So things are good. It's always great to be 2-0 and undefeated. There are not very many teams. The funny thing is the NFC West is undefeated against everybody except themselves. They only have one loss. One loss, and that was the 49ers playing the Seattle Seahawks. In fact, no other division in the NFL has more than one undefeated team, whereas the NFC West has not one, not two, but three undefeated teams. Now that's going to change this week, obviously, as the 49ers and Charger or 49ers and Cardinals play each other. I guess they could tie and technically be still undefeated, but that ain't happening. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate you, man. He says, time to go watch both. That defensive tape keeps getting more fun. Can't wait to see what Colin looks like in a month. Oh, my gosh, dude. I know I got a lot of flack, and I don't mind it. Like, I tell people, like, on Twitter and whatever, like, bookmark my stuff. Like, I say what I believe. Like, it's a 1,500-plus shows. Like, I'll put myself out there, and I kept telling everybody, like, trust me, Collins is going to be a guy. He's going to be a guy. He was who I wanted to pick. He's who I predicted them to pick in the second round, and it was just going to take time. Second week ain't even time. Like, dude's already starting to pay dividends. Appreciate Notorious. You are awesome. He says, juice that like button. I love it, man. I love it. You guys are awesome. Mosquito Killer, RTP, FTW, the best. What's up, Charles? Appreciate you guys here. Ben, got a couple of Ben's emails, man. Dude, this dude is turning into research galore. I'm just going to call him like Faithful's next gen stats. He's so good. So I want to talk about some of the things he's bringing up. Oh, what's up, Kevin, man? It was so cool meeting the kiddo. Hopefully you had a good time out partying, man. Absolutely love it. Look at this. Darren, 808. Thanks for a great weekend in New Orleans. Let's go. Yeah, shout out to you, Ajid. Always good times. Appreciate buying me drinks out there. You guys are the best. You are so kind. Yeah. Raven says, man, you and Lombardi are the only ones I wait for. Real and legit updates. Others, two-week advice. There's something out there for everybody. Something out there for everybody. Hopefully you guys enjoy those. Thank you, Tobias. Mike says, you know, breakdowns are fire. Thank you. I'm smiling the whole time I'm doing these breakdowns because there's just so much goodness. In the past, you know, last year with Sorensen, you see a bunch trips formation, you know bad things are about to happen. It's third down, you know bad things are going to happen. It's fourth quarter, you know bad things are going to happen. That's just the way that it was. And so now whenever you watch defensive tape and you're just like, this is so fun. Bad things don't have to happen all the time. Good things are allowed to happen to you. Thank you, Robert Sala. Look at this, Rob D. When the wifey's away, the tape will play. Facts. Yeah, and the traveling always pushes things back because, you know, I didn't get back Monday until late. So I don't want to, you know, I'm exhausted, whatever else. And so I get home, I try to sleep early, wake up, and just 2 days in a row, just tape. So fun, man. So freaking fun. Joe, what's up, man? We partied together in Seattle. He said, I finally got my voice back from the Seattle game. Had an awesome time. Thanks, John. It was an absolute honor shaking your hand, Joe. Just really appreciate the person that you are, my friend. Hugo, yeah, that cap, just like Warner, one of a kind. Dude, I just got this one. I like this is the new Faithful cap for those that are watching the new era one. How do I start every single show? What's going on, Faithful, right? So I saw this one. I was like, oh, black and gold. I like black hats. And I wish I had some more red on there, but that's okay. That's okay. Thank you so much. Sonia, do you think Shanahan didn't have a choice for rookies or someone twisted his arm for rookies? The dead cap and the reset. I love what the 49ers did. There is some critique, but when the process finalized, you didn't sign a lot of depth, and you had to decide to push a lot of that cap space forward with all the dead cap. You're paying $91 million for 49ers for players to play for other teams this year. That hurts. But you had to rip the Band-Aid off at some point. You didn't think that you were a Super Bowl kind of caliber team, so you wanted to build sustained success. Not mad at it. You're 2-0. The schedule, the coaching, and the blue chip players were going to be the ones that pulled you through. That was the whole idea. Jed York, I get it. But, hey, it's working out. Oh, man, no freaking way. Look at this. There are a couple things I want to talk about here. Shout out to my man Corey Robbins. I just hyped him up. Executive producer of the show. Had such a great time hanging out with you and Susan this week. I could not have had a better time with you guys. You are incredible. Your generosity, my friend, off the charts. Says, can't stay catching a flight. Awesome seeing you in New Orleans. Thank you so much, Corey. Really appreciate all that you are. Thank you so very much. Trey Hall, my man. He says, JC, what's wrong with our explosive runs? It was always going to be a different year. It was always going to be a different year. And with the 49ers having such a major issue at the wide receiver spot, I mean, let's be very honest. Juwan Jennings is awesome. He's not the Juwan Jennings that we're used to last year. Banged up shoulder, banged up ankle halfway through the game. Hasn't been at practice. I think he's practiced 6 times, right, in 2 months. Like, that ain't it. Ricky Pearsall, good. Dude, Ricky Pearsall got put on his tuchus a few times. Dude cannot handle a reroute to save his life. Pearsall's great. I love Pearsall, and I've started him on my fantasy team, and I'll continue to do so. But, like, the consistency from Pearsall was a little bit rough in the film. The deep pass, stutter stepping whenever you don't need to. There's a little bit of unsyncness between Ricky Pearsall and Mac Jones. And so, got to get on the same page there. Ayuk injured, Jordan Watkins injured, Jacob Cowing injured, DeMarcus Robinson suspended, George Kittle injured, Kyle Juszczyk injured. Good Lord. You've just all these skill positions that are explosive are not out there. So what are teams doing? We're going to give Shanahan a too high shell look, and then we're going to buzz the safety down at the start of every play. So we're going to make it look like we're staying back to stop the pass, but then we're bringing that extra man in the box as our alley defender. That's going to stop those explosive runs. It is. The formula is different right now. When you don't have the threats over the top, even Ricky Pearsall, I've said this for years, he's not a deep threat. He's not. He could do out and ups. He could do slot fades. Dude can't say run a fade to save his damn life. And you saw it. You know, Mac Jones trusted him and put it out there, and he hesitated. He didn't trust his speed, right? You remember, they go back to the quote. What did he say? Hey, you got to trust your speed. You got to trust your speed. And it worked on the out and up, or this, you know, kind of stutter go, sluggo, whatever you want to call it. But it's an issue. Ricky Pearsall is awesome. Horizontally, there's no deep threat on this team. And Marquez Valdes-Scantling, come on, man. Come on, man. Like, it's not there. So
this episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. You and I make decisions every day, but on Prize Picks, being right can get you paid. Don't miss any of the excitement this season on Prize Picks, where it's good to be right. Now, I played Prize Picks for over 3 seasons straight, and my favorite thing about it is just how easy it is. You pick more or less on 2 to 6 stat projections. If you get the picks right, you cash in. It's that easy. And Prize Picks is the best way to get action on sports in more than 40-plus states, including California, Texas, and Georgia. Some of the early week one things that you could put in on: Saquon Barkley, more or less than 1 rushing touchdown. Joe Burrow, more or less than 2.5 touchdowns. Josh Allen, more or less than 270 passing yards. You want to focus on 49ers? Guess what? They've got it loaded on there. Brock Purdy, more than 12 or less than 12 rushing yards. Christian McCaffrey, 71.5 rushing yards, more or less. You pick 2, you get it right, you get paid. Download the app today and use code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code 49ERS to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. It's good to be right.
Imagine a way to travel that feels personal, comfortable, and connected without the price tags and the sterile feeling of hotels or short-term rentals. That's exactly what Kindred provides. And whenever I think about traveling, like, I want it to feel like personal, effortless. Whenever I go on the road for all the 49ers Rush road trips, I've got so many things on my mind. Where I stay, I don't want to be one of them. So Kindred is a members-only home swapping network. It isn't a hotel. It isn't a short-term rental. It's a smarter way to travel where each stay feels like home. Plus, with Kindred, your home's your ticket. You earn hosting credits from fellow members, and then use those credits to stay in over 220,000 homes in 100 cities worldwide. And if you apply now at livekindred.com and use code 49ers to join for free, you'll earn 5 nights of travel credit just for signing up. That's livekindred.com, code 49ers. Livekindred.com, code 49ers.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains September 19th through the 24th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
The explosive runs ain't coming anytime soon until you got somebody that can take the top off of defense and have those plays, not having Kittle hurts, not having Ayuk hurts, not having DeMarcus Robinson hurts, not having Jacob Cowing hurts, not having Jordan Watkins hurts, not having Kyle Juszczyk. All those hurt. And so the formula is different right now. You're banged up. So why are there no explosive runs? The teams are scheming that away. That's why you're throwing the ball so damn much. And you kind of got to, and you're going to have to continue to do so. That's just where it's going to be. I wish it wasn't the way, but that's what it is. Oh, John, appreciate you, man. Great to meet you Saturday, John. What a great thing you all put together. Dude, we had pretty damn close to 400 people there on Saturday, about 150, 200 there for the tailgate. Lots and lots of positives. I'm so thankful. But yeah, putting faces to the names and the screen names. Oh man, I just absolutely love it. Mike says Ant was stoked off Collins too. I'm telling you, dude is a baller, and I'm hoping he continues to improve. Oh, Kevin, man, appreciate it. He says, son did have a good time, said he can't wait for the Houston trip. Yeah. Yes, that's what I'm talking about. It's all about those kiddos. I say kiddo, that dude's freaking, what are they, 6'4", freaking 250. He was looking down on me big time. Notorious JV, he says, NY Niners, you find any juice stats, send them my way. Oh, I love it. I love it. Ronnie, who helps the young wide receiver develop more, KB or BA? Yeah, they're very different wide receivers. One, BA, quiet, reserved, route technician. KB is energy, performance, and vibes. And so I think each one of them, you know, whenever I was a teacher and a coach, I always used to say this. I say this, you know, I was talking to somebody that started a podcast. I say this all the time, like, do not change who you are. The and sorry if I offend anybody here. The rules-oriented, strict English teacher where everything has to be done a certain way will reach kids I never will ever meet in my life. Who am I? I'm your prototypical coach, AP history, government teacher. That's who I am. I'm relaxed. I want people to have a good time. I want to get to know you. Like that's who I am. I'm going to reach certain kids. You're going to reach certain kids. And so whatever you're looking at, like BA or Kendrick Bourne, man, opposite ends of the spectrum on a lot of things. They're going to reach different guys. You know, I don't know what all the personality types are in that, you know, young wide receiver room. Be who you are. If you're not a rah-rah guy, I would say this to my captains and my seniors whenever I coach. Dude, don't be something you're not. Nick Bosa's not a rah-rah guy. Doesn't mean he's not a captain. You go aside and you have conversations and you coach and you help and you build. Same thing. BA's been out there. He's been out there. Last year went out there. This year, Juwan Jennings wasn't out there. Money was more important to him. And they chose not to be around the team at all, to not be a distraction and just do their own thing. That hurt. Now BA's out there. I love that. KB's out there. And, you know, KB, it's going to be hard for Kendrick Bourne. I want to be honest. The film went awful, but he got to learn the damn playbook. Yeah, two penalties. Both on Kendrick Bourne, just not knowing the playbook. But again, you go back to all those wide receiver injuries I kept talking about. That's going to cause issues. And so it's going to take time. It is going to take time, period. Oh, look at this. The 49ers have promoted Braden Willis to the active roster. Thought he played relatively well. Now, to make room for that, they have moved Ben Bartsch to the injured reserve. That was expected. The team has also signed Brandon Parker to the practice squad. That means Spencer Burford is going to be out, but not for a total of 4 weeks. So now you've got to have somebody to take those left tackle snaps, and that's where it is. So just breaking news, Ben Bartsch on IR, he's out at least 4 weeks. They promote Braden Willis, so you have those three tight ends. Basically means Kyle Juszczyk might not be going this week with – he sure as hell ain't going to practice being in concussion protocol. And then you moved up Brandon Parker to the practice squad. My guess is he'll get almost all the backup left tackle snaps, keep Austin Pleasance on the right side. And so you'll kind of go through that. You're going to have to kind of go through that. That's what that's going to look like. So that's where our – what's up, Sin? How are you? New Orleans was over the top. It sure was, man. I could not have had more fun. And the 49ers were everywhere. That was the cool thing. That was the cool thing. John says, I want to see Nick Martin, the spy slash blitzer on Kyler next week. Ooh, you just promoted Corey Robbins. I don't think you're going to put seven linebackers active. But yeah, that is a legitimate concern. There's no doubt about that. Jacob, the 24 and 25 draft classes have been great. Yeah, makes up for the rough ones beforehand. And it's not all good. You know, Renardo Green has not played well. He really, really hasn't. Now, I get it whenever you have Diamador Lenore, you're going to go after Upton Stout. You're going to go after Renardo Green. You're going to go after Marquise Siegel. And that has been, you only played two games, but that's been both teams' game plan, and they've had success with it. Now, Renardo Green's got to learn how to trust his technique. He is not comfortable out there. Remember, he's overcome that injury, not in quite football shape and ready to go. He missed almost all the preseason. He's just not comfortable. Now, you ain't got anybody else. You going to put Darrell Luter out there? God, no. You going to put Chase Lucas out there on the outside? No. Like, you're going through these bumps and bruises. And guess what? Like, yeah, the Cardinals have not figured out how to get the ball to wide receivers well at all under this coaching staff and Drew Petzing. It's a major issue for them. But now you got Marvin Harrison Jr. And I'm telling you right now, they'll put him in the slot some. He's going to be on Renardo Green. He likes the left side, offensive left side. You want to find like, oh, how did the 49ers lose the game versus the Cardinals? MHJ torches Renardo Green and Kyler Murray in the run game get established. That's what it is. That's their game plan. Like, you don't need to be a rocket scientist to see what they're going to try to do. So Renardo Green got to step up. He's got to get comfortable. He's got to trust his feet. He was out of phase so many times. And whenever he, like, what in phase means is when you can basically reach out and touch the hip of the wide receiver. If I could do that, then I'm making a play on the ball. The hands show, make a play on the ball. He's not doing that. And so when he is in phase, he's not following his technique. When he is out of phase, it's because he's getting his feet outside of his frame way too often. And you coaching corners, this old Saban saying, when foot steps out of my frame once, I have to put another foot out of my frame twice to get my other foot back in. Now you're out of phase. Now you're out of position. And it just falls from there. I mean, there are a few plays where Renardo Green twisted the wrong way like three times on one play. A wide open Chris Olave in the end zone. Thank God he drops it. Renardo Green, my concern level's not high for him. But back-to-back weeks, tape, not kind. That's not going to change. Sticky, he says, Green was picked on relentlessly last year, too. I'm not too worried as of now. I'm not either, and that's going to continue. Why would you throw it at Demo? Dude hasn't given up a touchdown since the NFC Championship game against the Lions. Yeah, that's where it is. Trey says, why do I have to be after the $99 chat? Man, you, Trey, I appreciate you. Don't worry about that. Just a number. You the freaking man, Trey. And I appreciate all you do. Yeah, Corey's a big time. That dude's no joke. Don't worry about that. I'm way behind on the chat. I'm not going to catch up on the chat. Oh, look at this. We got a new member. What's up, Joey? Welcome to the channel. Appreciate that, man. Means a lot. Appreciate all the support. Look at this. Joey says, great partying with you in New Orleans. Oh, I freaking love it. I freaking love it. You guys are unbelievable. Just building the community, man. Faithful. That's what it says right here. Now, let's talk about Fred Warner. Let's talk about what he does, what he's accomplished in such a short time. And man, if you are a better dude, those defensive player of the year odds ain't going to look better than they do right now.
You know that one guy in the group chat who had a five-leg parlay week one and just wouldn't shut up about it for the rest of the season? That could be you. MyBookie makes it super easy to get into the action. College football, NFL, super contest, survivor pools, casino, blackjack, whatever it is you want, they got it. All the spreads, player props, and in-game lines you could want all under one roof. And if you're new to MyBookie, use our code 49ers, 49ERS, up to $500 is fully covered. You make your play. Let's say it doesn't hit. You get all of it right back up to $500 when you opt in using your bet back bonus, and you get it back. It's just what it is. Comes with a one-time rollover if you use it. Now, no better time to jump in, no better place to play. Plus, we have all of our weekly bets and season bets up on our Patreon and the 49ersrush.com. So if you don't know how to get started, we've got it made for you. We show you what we bet. We show you what's out there, and we will cover that with you. It's going to be a good time. So football's back. Let's make some money with MyBookie, promo code 49ERS. Let's go. Look, I was talking about Fred Warner, yeah, defensive play, NFC defensive player of the week, right? He's at plus 6,000 odds, which means if you bet $10 for Fred Warner to win defensive player of the year, you win 600. I am placing my bet as I talk to you. That's how easy that was. But I'm not saying do it because it usually goes to an end or a corner. Doesn't go to off-ball linebackers often, but I'm just saying, bet 10 to win 600. Fred Warner's the best player in football right now. Like, I don't care. Fred Warner's the best player in football right now. Can he stay healthy? He was on this pace last year for a month, and he crept up. He was like third best odds and then fractured the ankle and was still a damn good player. But good gosh, man. So Fred Warner wins NFC Defensive Player of the Week. Mayoko said that's his fourth time doing this, double-digit tackles. Had, you know, the forced fumble, tackle for loss, coverages. So good. So good. Yeah, I think it was the highest rated player on PFF for the entire week. For any team, offense, defense, had a 95.8 score. Dude is just off the charts awesome, man. So just want to say salute to Fred Warner, the Predator, the best of the best. He's the real deal. I don't know what else to say. He just elevates the play all around him. Now, let's talk about the young pups. And one of the things that was really funny on film as you're watching it, he just kept tapping the rookies on the head after the play. Just like, it's good, Rook. It's good, Rook. It's good, Rook. Just over and over again. It didn't matter if it was Upton Stout. You know, it didn't matter if it was Alfred Collins, CJ West, Mikael Williams. Just, hey, you're good. You're good. I like the Freddie Wooger. That's pretty awesome. Ready, Freddie, baby. Let's go. Let's go. He's the absolute best. So let's talk rookies. So, here's what I want to do. I want to start off with just PFF analytical, snap by snap, whatever. What they did week one and what they did week two. I have to shout out to NY Niners Ben. He compiled this, sent it over. He's the freaking man. Hopefully he knows. Freaking love that dude. He's the best. It's good. It's not all good, right? So you had three rookies jump up in ratings big time, and you had two rookies go down, all defensive. Connor Colby doesn't count because he didn't really play in week one. So Alfred Collins had the biggest leap. A lot of people were ready just to write him off. And you guys emailed me. You guys DM'd me. And I appreciate it. Keep your receipts, man. But keep that energy. Keep that energy. Alfred Collins had a 27.9 score week one. Just not good. He had a 62.0. Now, is 62 amazing? No. You start off at 60. If you have positive plays, you go up. You have negative plays, you go down. Now, I'm willing to say that Mikael Williams actually played, Alfred Collins actually played way better than his 62 score. The reason why his score was so low is because of hustle plays where he overran the ball carrier and got counted for a missed tackle. That's the only reason why it probably should have been closer to 70, 75. He played awesome. 24 snaps, but the tackling grade. And both of the tackles, not in his gap. Alfred Collins is an A-plus hustler, man. A-plus hustler. And with each one of these guys, I'm going to give you a coaching point. He will overrun. There was one play. He was the backside tackle.
And so it's like an outside screen or whatever else. And so he takes off running. And this dude, he's the biggest dude on the field, offense or defense, Alfred Collins. And he's running as hard as he can. He's got a good angle, but he gets a Fred Warner's way. Like, this should not happen. It's not because he got driven back. He was in his pursuit angle, and he had a perfect angle. But Fred Warner's way faster than Alfred Collins, obviously. And Fred's like, dude, get out of my way, you big lug. But they both got there. And just, I'm telling you right now. So the coaching point for Alfred Collins, one, keep doing what you're doing. It just played mean, which I really, really liked. Powerful, which I really, really liked. But does have a tendency in his pursuit to overrun the ball carrier and miss the tackle. That's something he's got to work on. Tracking the hip, not being so high. He's tall. But so much positive tape. Just so much positive tape. Now, Mikael Williams, he jumped from a 47.0 to a 59.3. Now, he's playing some snaps, 48 snaps. 48 snaps on the defensive front. He's playing defensive tackle. He's playing defensive end. He's playing that power four eye. He's playing all over the place. Love the improvement. And for me, my kind of coaching point for, the rookie Mikael Williams is, dude, you've got to learn to take better pursuit angles, right? So, like, Alfred Collins, his angles are almost too good because he overruns the ball carrier outside the numbers. Did it multiple times. Mikael Williams is the opposite. He takes bad angles. He's too flat. You got to go where he's going. And understanding, like, dude, if it's Chris Olave or if it's Alvin Kamara, you don't chase behind. You chase where they're going. And that cost him twice. Now, his length helped make up for it one whenever he pushed Alvin Kamara out of bounds. But again, quality tape, huge improvement, setting the edge, stopping the run. That's what he's designed to do. That's why you drafted him in the first round. And it was kind of fun seeing him go against Kelvin Banks because Kelvin Banks got picked 10th overall. And Mikael Williams got picked 11th overall. Everybody picked on Kelvin Banks. The Saints coaching staff basically said, hey, we're going to leave you alone. We're not going to chip for you. We're not going to offer you any help. We're going to slant all protection sliding to the right. They just left Kelvin Banks Jr. on an island against Nick Bosa, Bryce Huff, and Mikael Williams all day. Like, what the hell do you think was going to happen? Like, that was really bad coaching by them. And it cost them. I understand Kelvin Banks is going to be great. And after what he did week one, they were like, yeah, this is our guy. And maybe they will. But that cost them. And the 49ers took advantage of a lot of those. So Mikael Williams, great. Amazing versus the run. Pass rush, he got some good bull rushes in there, which I really liked. I'll take that every time. Just if you're pushing the pocket and helping, the collective pass rush out, that's a positive. Mikael Williams is doing that. Got to get better pursuit angles, take better tracks to where the player is going and take it in speed into account. That's what he's got to work on. Mr. G, thanks for the super chat, my friend. Says, what I love about Collins and Williams is their relentless pursuit, a solid trait. Thank you. It is rare, and my favorite thing is you are seeing these two rookies run past veteran D linemen, running past Bryce Huff, running past Jordan Elliott, running past Kalia Davis. You're seeing Sam O, I would put up there as well. Those three guys, they got one speed, and it's just go. That's all that it is. But I'm telling you right now, next time you watch the tape, watch 95. It is a beautiful thing seeing the biggest guy on the field out-hustle linebackers and defensive ends. It is fun. I wish we coached the all-out effort more. Saul is notorious for it, but we do have a couple guys on that defensive side that are a little bit slackers in that area. The rookies are not one of them, and I'm a gigantic Sam O fan. I don't think that he played great, but man, he sets the edge. He sets the edge. Yeah, his grade. What was Sam O at? He had a 46.5. Not great. 28 snaps though. I want him staying right there. I want him staying in that kind of 20 to 30 snap rate and just spelling guys. I love Sam O. He's so good for the locker room. The energy he plays with. Awesome. Just freaking awesome. Now, the last increase. Upton Stout, and this dude jumped from a 32.5 week one score to a 67.7. Highest scoring rookie. He had the defensive rookie. Dude was off the charts, and he played a lot. Like you look up to how he played 56 snaps, man. Had three pressures. Dude pass rushed four times, had three pressures, had a sack. Now, the negative with Upton Stout, way too grabby. Very easily could have got a lot more, you know, illegal contact downfield, defensive holding downfield, and his perimeter run game fits, especially in the screen game. And I know when people are like, wait a second, screen game, that's a pass play. Why are you talking run fits? So when you line up, the screen game counts as a run fit. That's a big issue. And his problem wasn't so much with his gap responsibility. It's the crack replace drill, which he struggled with, and so did Marquise Siegel. We'll talk about it in a little bit. So if I'm a second tier or second level defender, right? I'm not a defensive lineman. If I'm playing that nickel role, right? And a lot of times in the 4-2-5 for Upton Stout, he'll take the backside B gap. That's his gap responsibility in the run game. The problem is if they crack the wide nine underneath me, meaning you get an outside down block that the defensive end doesn't see coming from a wide receiver or a tight end, you got to crack replace. So once he gets cracked in, he goes inside. Now my gap has changed. Gap exchange deal. Now I fit outside. Upton Stout struggled with that. But then if they double crack, which the Saints do, this is a Kellen Moore trait. So they crack the end. Now Upton Stout has to fit outside. But then another wide receiver comes and cracks down to Upton Stout. Now Marquise Siegel, I have to make the guy right in front of me. I got to fit outside there. He didn't do that. The run game fits need to be worked on with the rooks. They're not polished. And that showed up in the screen game a couple times. So that's where that's going to go. Right here. That was a bad call on Upton. It was tight coverage. It was. But, man, so, like, here's what happens. You're grabbing the drive before, and your coach and the wide receiver go to the guy on their side, who's the one that called it, by the way, and says, dude, 20's grabbing me 20 yards downfield. He's tugging my jersey. He's holding my, like, and so you got, hey, and then so those guys go, they go to the official and say, hey, we really need you to watch number 20. He is grabbing. He is holding well past 5 yards, right? So now the side judge is paying attention. Wasn't even his damn call, by the way, but probably should have got called for it the drive before. It was kind of a makeup call. But that's going to happen when you're grabbing so much consistently. You're going to get one of those that you didn't deserve, right? You got caught for the thing you didn't do. You didn't get caught for what you did do. But it's going to take time. You know what I mean? And so, yeah, on that play, I think that was a bad flag. But I'm not going to complain too much about the official. I thought going through the tape, fairly good officiated game. And in fact, a couple of their holding calls were kind of ticky-tack too. So, no, game was officiated. You know what I mean? And so, like, I thought it was all right. Oh, what's up, JP? My man. He's hit me with the Hamilton. What did I miss? There we go. I like it. So, Upton Stout, great. He's going to continue to be tested. I just love how physical he is at the line of scrimmage. And again, smallest dude on the field. Don't care. Don't tell him that. Man, there was one play. It's a tackle. It was right before the half. The Saints get the ball back, I think, with like 6 seconds left before the half. And I'm like, man, why aren't they kneeling it? They put in Keandre Miller, who's like a big play, explosive back. And they're like, let's just give him a run, see what happens. Fred Warner fills the backside A gap perfectly, gets there. But Upton Stout, you know, Fred Warner got there first. But one of my favorite things about him at Western Kentucky, and watch him, I mean, he did this against Alabama too. When Upton Stout comes in to fill a gap, I don't care if he's 170 pounds, he brings his feet. A lot of guys dive and wrap up and pull, right? No. You're supposed to drive through the tackle. And Upton Stout made like an exclamation point hit on a guy that weighs probably 20 pounds, 30 pounds more than him, and just ran through his damn face. Oh, it didn't matter in the game, but it mattered to me. And it mattered to Upton because he was jacked ready to go. Oh, yeah. Thomas, he says, yeah, Upton is young. He wants all the smoke. He does. He does. I heard there were 12 missed tackles. What happened? Dude, almost all those were against Spencer. Let me see here. I want to make sure. There were 12 missed tackles. Freaking Spencer Rattler was just cooking folks in the run game. Is there a missed tackle? Yeah, here we are. Alvin Kamara had 5 forced missed tackles. Alvin Kamara is one of the best players in the history of the NFL at forcing missed tackles. He, the best contact balance back of the past 20 years. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, that's what he does, and he's still doing it. Spencer Rattler had 3. 2 of those were against Upton Stout. Upton Stout got embarrassed a little bit by Upton Stout running the ball on a few of those plays. There was one play where, you know, Spencer Rattler made 2 different people miss. Keandre Miller had 1, so that's 9. And then you get into the passing. Let me see the receiving. Again, sorry, I'm doing this live. Where's the MTF? We got it over here somewhere, don't we? It's all the way on the edge. There it is. Yeah. Juwan Johnson had 1. Yeah, he ran through us. And Alvin Kamara had another one. So, yeah, the missed tackles were a little bit of an issue. But you only had 3 week 1. 12's not awful. It's not good. 12 would have been great for last year. Nick Sorensen, if you could tell Nick Sorensen, too, we only had 12 missed tackles. Dude, I'm telling you, man, he'd be the happiest man alive. But he's a terrible coach. Terrible coordinator. Not a terrible coach. Terrible coordinator. But yeah, so that's kind of where that is. And so missed tackles, not overly concerned, but you are playing a team this week in the Arizona Cardinals who specialize in missed tackle. James Conner's ran through the 49ers time and time again. Kyler Murray, probably the 2nd or 3rd, definitely top 3 hardest quarterbacks just to get your hands on. So tackling is going to be a priority all week. Has to be. Yeah. And D Winners, who, that dude's playing out of his damn mind. He whiffed on Rattler too. And big time, you know, he whiffed on him 1 time and Etur Gross-Matos making a hustle play, which is not an Etur Gross-Matos thing. He was one of the guys I was talking about. You'll see players run past a lot, but Etur Gross-Matos making a high effort play and he knocks D Winners off of Spencer Rattler for that 1st down. Let's be honest. Robert Saleh's history against mobile quarterbacks, yeah, that's a question. That has been a question. That's been an issue. So we'll have to see what that is. Now, let's talk about the 2 rookies who did not ascend. Their playing time went down, and so did their grades. C.J. West was a 58.1 grade 1st week, and then a 50.5. And really, you know, I didn't think he played bad. He just didn't play much. Like, C.J. West played 13 snaps. He was better in the pass rush than he was against the run. He had 9 pass rush snaps, 4 run game snaps, and that's why his grade was so low. He got washed down against the down block. So a down block is, let's say I'm lined up right here. This is my gap, okay? I'm lined up in a 3 technique, which means I'm in the B gap, okay? You have your center to guard is the A gap. From your guard to your tackle is the B gap, okay? So I'm lined up in a 3 technique, outside shade of the guard in front of me. I'm responsible for the B gap. Well, what they would do a lot of times is called pin pull, very common, where the tackle, I'm lined up on the guard, I'm reading the guard, but the tackle blocks down. So the guard and tackle both block down, and he just got washed out. And so he gets driven 5-plus yards horizontally, not down the field. But now that gap is huge. He only had 4 run snaps. Didn't play a lot. Happened to him 3 times. And so whenever you're reading the guard, you fire out and you try to read the guard, but it's like, oh, the guard's not there anymore. I got this big old tackle pushing me down. Well, you got to anchor. You got to get low, and you got to fight against it or cross his face. C.J. West didn't do that. The run game hurt him. And if you can't do the run game, you don't play for Robert Saleh. That's why Alfred Collins, run game, we'll let him work up in the pass. You're going to allow them to do that. So, you know, for C.J. West, again, injured, missed almost all the preseason. You've got to get ready, Rook. You've got to be at the top of your game to compete in any level in the NFL. So, yeah, was C.J. West awful? No, he wasn't. but it was very clear the issue for why his playing time is not ascending. And then you add to that, what is Robert Saleh doing in the pass game? He's playing four defensive ends, not three, not two, zero defensive tackles. Playing four defensive ends. There's not a defensive tackle on the field. So if you can't stop the run game and you're a liability getting washed down against tackles on a down block, you're not going to get those snaps. Not going to get those snaps. And that's not happening with Alfred Collins. It's not happening with Jordan Elliott. It's not happening with Kalia Davis. A couple times with Kalia Davis. But Kalia Davis is making up for it with some of his positives that he's bringing. Does that make sense? So that's there. Now, Marquis Siegel, probably one of my favorite rookies, might be my favorite rookie. I freaking love this guy. 59.8, he fell to a 41.4. Penalties, gave up that touchdown play. But I'll say this, and, you know, the age-old adage, tape's never as good or as bad as you think it's going to be. I've said it so many times in my life. What's up, David Gill, man? Dude, we are just being hit with Hall of Famers all through here. So pumped. Thank you, David. We were just talking about you. You're the freaking man. Look, Marquis Siegel, he's where he needs to be. He's just not making plays. What's the issue with Marquis Siegel? Great against the run. That dude will come up and fill. He's a sure tackler in the open field. But coverage is a little bit of a liability. Well, he's getting to the right drops. There was one play, and it won't show up on any highlight reel, whatever else. We're doing a cover three, right? So it looks like quarters, and then he buzzes down. So he goes down and kind of fills that underneath hooked curl zone. And so then we drop into a cover three. He buzzes down, and there's nobody in his area. So he gets his eyes to the quarterback, and then you open up to the inside, and you're looking for that intermediate route crosser to help, right? It was clinic tape. And so he buzzes down to kind of that, you know, 10 to 12 yard, whatever, and then nothing's there. So you look for action. You open up your hips, go to the three wide receiver side, which is backside. He sees that kind of drag route coming over, and he hightails it and cuts it off. The quarterback was looking there. That was like the first or second read. Spencer Rattler's reading it, sees him, then has to move off of his thing, goes elsewhere. I don't remember what happened as a result of the play. But, like, you see the light is on for Marquis Siegel. He is where he's supposed to be, even in the plays he gave up, even in the penalty. He's playing, and he's turning and playing the ball when he's in phase, like a corner. Remember, this dude played corner at Kansas State. So, like, you're starting to see Renardo Green's not doing that, right? This dude's doing it as a safety. He's just not making plays. He's just not making plays. So he's in position. He's getting his reads. He's getting his drops. He's following the right route concepts. He's not having busted coverages. It's just teams aren't scared of him. So he's putting a lot of those pieces together. The development, the score doesn't reflect this, but I'm telling you, just watching the tape, Marquis Siegel is understanding the lights are turning on. Like, it's there. It is there. So I have a lot more optimism for Marquis Siegel than this score reflects. Oh, yeah. He's and this next game is a Marquis Siegel game, the Arizona Cardinals. This is why you start Marquis Siegel week one. Because of what he could do in the run game against a physical run-style team. Because of what he could do against Kyler Murray. Because of what he could do against James Conner. Because of what he could do against Trey Benson, right? That's why you start Marquis Siegel. You don't start Marquis Siegel because he's going to be guarding, you know, Chris Olave or Juwan Johnson. That's not why you do it. Yeah, it's going to happen sometime with the motions going from 3-1 to a 2-2 on the other side. Like, you could, yeah, it's going to happen because you have to check and rotate your safeties down. It's not what you want to do. You'd rather have Jason Pinnock on the tight ends. But the reason why you start Marquis Siegel and you stay with them, it's because of games like the Cardinals this week, these strong run games. That's where he's going to show up. That's where he's going to show up. There's our rookies. We got some comments. I want to talk about Juwan Jennings. Thank you, Joseph. And I want to talk a little bit more Robert Saleh defense. what the good and the bad are. We got some really good questions this week through email and through DMs. And I want to talk a little bit more scheme, if that's okay. If that's okay, right after this.
49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its sixth year with over 40 events at road games. If you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you got to come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We've partnered with TickPick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the TickPick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys, kids are always included, and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And a lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out and you get to meet and greet them and get autographed. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com.
Now, we are going to be, it's kind of weird because it's week two is done, right? I'm not working an event for 3 weeks. Like, oh, I'm going to get a little bit of rest, relaxation, but we're going to be out at Tampa Bay. Cannot wait for that one. We were there last year. Had such a good time. I know it's not going to be as big of a crowd in Tampa Bay, but it's still going to be an awesome freaking time. Our tailgate setups off the charts. Still not sure. We're going to finalize the day before party in the next couple days. We'll be in Houston week 8. That's going to be a blast. Frank Gore is going to be joining us there. And then we're going to be over in Jersey for New York the day before party. And we got an awesome tailgate right in front of the stadium. Cardinals will be there. Browns will be there. Indianapolis will be there. We're going to every game except for the only game we're not doing is that Thursday night one, just because I know nobody can do a Thursday party. So that's kind of where we're at there. So go get your tickets on TickPick. Just search 49ers Rush or follow the link in the description of this video. Get your tickets now. They're not going to be cheaper than they are now. So go do that. Mike, just want to say thank you. Appreciate the comment. Can definitely hear the coach at Jod's assessment. Focus on raising the level one step at a time. Young guns coming on. Yes. Yes. Siegel's great, man. We have to get to the point, and, you know, if you guys have listened to this show a lot, like, we're so quick, and this is an NFL, this is a societal thing. You're either the best or you're the worst. That's just not the way life is. People have bad days. Damn, I have bad days. Yeah, everybody does. And it was kind of cool meeting everybody. Like, dude, how are you so positive? I was like, man, I don't think I'm positive, but that's so kind. We all have bad days, and some days you got to give your best that you got. It's not that great. It's going to happen. You play banged up. You go through things. Guess what? Sometimes the other guys are going to win. But to hold these like rookies, like Alfred Collins, changing schemes, overcoming an injury, literally cross the picket line because he didn't want to miss any more time, like put the team first over himself. And people are just roasting this kid. And it's like, dude, this kid just got here. He played 1 week. Calm the hell down. And I don't think people are doing that to Siegel. But like, if there's one thing that I'm talking to myself here, because whenever I'm at the games, I overreact. And that's part of the fun, right? But golly, you've got 5 rookies playing on defense. Quality snaps. You got another rookie playing offense. And that's, we're going to finish the show talking to Connor Colby. He's getting his whole segment. This guy, 75, mullet man. But like, we got to be patient and go through this process. The 49ers chose to go through these lumps. And the goal is you go through these lumps with the hope that you win. With the hope that you win. And that's the thing. You get to correct and coach up all these guys after a win. You ain't got to worry about the psyche. You ain't got to worry about, hey, don't worry, you're going to get it, blah, blah, blah. No, no, no. Look, we're playing at a level to win these games. Let's just fix this and make these games just a little bit easier. And so you have these adjustments and coaching corrections off of a victory. Dude, that's like, that's coaching on easy mode. The worst is when you're coaching, you know, after a blowout loss. Like, imagine you're one of them. I've been there. And now you've got the kids thinking, well, is he going to bench me? Is he going to put in this other guy? like, okay, yeah, we're going to go through film. And some of the worst days of anybody's life is sitting in that film room. And if you played football, you know, I don't give a damn how good you are. If you were all state, a D1 athlete, you've had a bad day in the film room. And that's that feeling. It's a killer. And you're sitting there with the position coaches, guys that bleed and die, and you've got a backup that's just fighting for your job and just wants to be you so bad. And you got a coach that believes in you, and you feel like you let them down. Like, ah, those days. Man, I remember just regretting film. And I knew, and it was bad. Screw that coach. I ain't going to say his name. Some coaches are pieces of shit. Most of them are amazing. This dude, oh, I want nothing but bad things. That dude just destroyed me and all my friends like on a regular basis. Wasn't even a good coach, but that's okay. But like, let's give these players a little bit of grace. The 49ers have decided to roll with five defensive rookies. Five. They've only had three defensive rookies start more, you know, substantially since Kyle Shanahan showed up. Three. That's since 2017 to 2024. Three total. Now you're rolling with five at once? Ah. Yeah. Yeah. So let's give some grace and let's go through these growing pains. You know what I mean? Dude, Mikael Williams is going to have a bad game. Alfred Collins is going to have a bad game. Upton Stout's going to get torched for a touchdown or a penalty that's going to cost. One of these guys at some point is going to cost the 49ers a game. I hate to tell you that. And I know you 17-0 crowd. Man, keep that dream alive. I love it. You do you. I'm telling you as a coach, eventually you got to pay the piper. And these kids are going to make mistakes. That's their kids. They ain't got the experience. Thankfully, the schedule kind of bails you out a little bit. But it's going to happen. JP, my man. Yeah, we talked about CJ West, but my thing is he's got to get better in the run game and anchoring versus those down blocks. That's why he's not playing. So they're trying to put him in there on those intermediate pass play downs, second and short, whatever else, but they're not leaving him out there long. So until he proves, man, I can anchor versus that. In this game, the Arizona Cardinals, not the game for him. Not the game for him. Now against a pass-happy team like the Rams, maybe a little bit more so. This week ain't going to be the biggest CJ West week. Not going to be. But whenever you play some of those super pass happy teams, all right, now that's a little bit. I want to pull up the schedule because I just off the top of my head, like let's just go through, like there's matchup. Kevin Givens was this way. Y'all remember Kevin Givens? He was part of that 2019 draft class, even though he wasn't drafted. You had Bosa, Debo, Dre Greenlaw, right? DJ Jones, but he didn't come along until later, but whatever. And then you had Kevin Givens, who didn't play really his rookie year, 2019, but 2020, he played a lot. 2021 played a lot. Then the injuries happened. But, like, you would watch him play, and you'd be like, ooh, this guy, he has something, but it only shows up every other week. Well, some of these guys are matchup dependent. I think CJ West is that right now. Maybe that could develop out of it. But, man, Jaguars, oh, my gosh, yes. CJ West week. Rams, CJ West week. Falcons, no. Texans, yes, 100%. Giants, yes. Dayball, yeah, that's perfect. So, like, there's going to be weeks where Alfred Collins ain't going to get that many snaps. And people are going to be like, oh, well, you know, CJ West taking his job. No, they're different. Alfred Collins is your run guy. CJ West is your pass guy right now. Now, both of them could develop into all-purpose players. But right now, the dude's just got to learn. And it's not so much about the positive plays, it's the negative plays. Here, okay. Thank you, Ben. It says, I hope this need to trust rookies becomes a willingness to keep doing it. It's a good thing in a limited sample size. It is. Now, here we go. I got a question from Vams on Twitter. Shout out to Vams. And I hope it's not a different conversation. It's approaching this from a different way. So keep in mind this idea of it's not about the positives, it's about the negatives. It's not because you make all these splash plays that you get more playing time. You can't be a liability. That's why you don't get more playing time, okay? So Vams asked me this on Twitter. He says, Do you think the way that Saleh does his coverage slash coaching makes it less likely to get interceptions compared to D'Amico or Wilkes? The answer is 1,000% yes. 1,000% yes. What is D'Amico Ryan's philosophy? Okay, here are core tenets. I don't have it written out, but I'm going to go through a bunch of them. I'm sure I'll miss some. Stop the run first. You can't do anything unless you stop the run first, right? Then it's, okay, you stop the run. Now you've earned the right to rush the passer. Coverage. We're a back-to-front team, okay? What's that mean? We want teams to execute flawlessly down the field without any negative plays. That's what they're trying to do. We want to force checkdowns. We want to rally and tackle. Everybody can tackle, right? Everybody can stop the run, right? Those are paramount. That's who we are. Robert Saleh doesn't really go after the ball hawks. He doesn't run a bunch of robber coverages. He doesn't do cover zero, literally defeating cover man, almost deleted it completely with what he's trying to do. There has never been a time in Robert Saleh's career where the team has been a top five interception team ever. And that's even the 2019 49ers, which was a freaking beast. No. That's not what he's trying to do. He's not a gamble. Wilkes, gamble, right? That dude. yeah, that's why him and Kyle never got along. Because, dude, yeah, let's go after it. Like, you talk about the Minnesota Vikings, Brian Flores, DC, completely, like, there's a spectrum, right? And on one side, you have Vic Fangio and Robert Saleh, where it's like shell, Brandon Staley, shell coverage, check down, force them to go on 10 play drives with no penalties, no sacks, no tackle for losses. Can they do that five times a game? Then they deserve to win. That's Fangio, shell, Brandon Staley, Robert Saleh, and it's different schemes and even fronts, odd fronts, different. I don't give a damn. The coverage philosophy is the same. On the opposite side, Brian Flores is a mad hatter. Go ahead, get your 70-yard touchdown. I'm going to hit your quarterback 10 times this game. Steve Wilkes, cover zero, go get him. So, Steve Wilkes led the NFL in turnovers the year he's with us. We led the NFL. Robert Saleh's never even been in the top five, and in fact, the Jets had their best year when they fired Robert Saleh. It's just not that turnovers aren't a priority. It's we're limiting MAs, missed assignments. We're limiting mistakes. We're going to say, Spencer Rattler, can you go 10 plays and score points five times against us? If you can, you win. Congratulations. We don't think you can. So it's not that CJ West isn't good enough or that the splash plays aren't there, because I would argue they're still there more than Alfred Collins. It's the negative plays that keep you out. It's the negative plays. Why do you go Marquise Siegel over Jair Brown? Jair Brown's a better cover guy. Jair Brown's a turnover machine. Picked off Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl. Awesome at Penn State. Two can't tackle. Refuses to tackle. Had another missed tackle in seven snaps. So we're going to do our basic core tenets, our fundamentals of defense with Robert Saleh. We're going to stop the run. We're going to earn the right to rush the pass. We're going to make teams flawlessly execute all the way down the field repeatedly. So I don't even know if this is a question that was asked, but Vams asked, like, man, is it this scheme that's going to change the fact of interceptions? Yes, because it's keep everything in front. What happens on third and long? We do cover four palms. We force a check down. Everybody rallies and tackles. Everybody goes crazy because D Winters or Fred Warner makes a great play. That's what that is. And so I think that's where we're going to stay. I really, really do. I've been way off the chat. Matthew, my man, he says, youngsters doing well overall. It's a week-by-week situation. Yes, 100%. Howdy, focus on the strengths of the rookies until the weaknesses can become a strength. You're seeing that with Alfred Collins. You're seeing that. 100%. I like that. Yeah, I appreciate you guys, man. You guys are awesome. Now, I want to get to some more chats. I still got a couple more points. I'm never going to get through everything I want to. I never finish a show. I always have to copy and paste. But, you know, everywhere we go, we want to have a positive impact on the community. We were able to, you know, when we went to Seattle, we were able to give, along with the Seattle Niner Faithful Chapter. Alex talked about this later in the chat yesterday. I missed it. Over $4,000 to the CASA workers in Seattle. And I'm finalizing paying for all the tailgates and the restaurant and all that stuff this weekend and all those things. But we're going to be giving to the local food bank in New Orleans with what we were able to do, the parties we were able to throw and, you know, all that stuff. So we were able to cover our expenses, which we don't always do. And sometimes we host these events and we don't post profits. But this is something that is near and dear to my heart. I cannot talk about this enough. One, my man Bruno, 3 years old, fighting through leukemia. We need your help. So we're going to be giving away two 49ers at Rams tickets week three. And we're giving away the tickets in 1 week, 8 days, September 25th, live on air, 10 a.m. for the Coach Pro Show next Thursday with Ant. You get two tickets to SoFi, Levi South, Section 236 with a pink tailgate parking pass. It's over $1,500 right now on TickPick. These are great seats. SoFi, if you've never been there, go check it out. One of the best stadiums out there. All you got to do, go to the 49ersrush.com/Rams. You can buy one chance for $20, three chances for $50. If you want to buy multiple, you can. So go check that out. The link is in the description of this audio podcast. We are not getting one damn penny. It actually cost us to build this on the site to get it live. We are losing money, and I'm going to donate on top of it. This is for a great cause. And you win the tickets, sell them, don't care. Do whatever you want to do, but support a good cause. And hopefully you win some tickets and have a great time. Again, these are going for over $1,500 on TickPick right now for this whole package. You get a chance to win for $20. We're going to do that raffle live, which is always fun. Give it away stuff. But yeah, we're trying to do something positive. Support the community. Help Bruno. This kid's bad. He's a badass kid, man. He deserves it all. So let's see. Thank you for the happy birthday wishes from last week. You guys are awesome. Appreciate y'all. Let's see here. Mark, my man, Mark. Way better than calling man coverage on third down and giving up third and long to a slant play over and over and over. It's just different philosophies. You know what I mean? Bend, don't break versus, hey, we're going to get three takeaways this game and steal the game. And whenever you can have complementary football, meaning you're sustaining the ball on offense, you're having long drives on offense, and you're doing the exact same thing on defense, not allowing teams to sustain drives, limiting the number of possessions, that's complementary football. That's what good teams do. When your offense can help out your offense and defense can help out your offense and special teams doesn't hurt either, we're not at that point yet. Special teams still sucks balls. Probably shouldn't say that. Sucks balls. Major balls. Special teams is awful. It is so bad still. The punt team is about the only thing that's good. And good old Darrell Luter Jr. still has no idea what outside contain means as a gunner, which is just, I'll never understand how that dude's got to learn one thing, man. United, you don't play corner for us. You got to stay outside as a gunner. He still can't do it, but it's what it is. Big Papa, what's up, man? He says, hey, just joining you, John. Saw some film on the young left tackle. Looked pretty good. Yeah, he's with the 49ers before. He knows the scheme. He knows everything. And Chris Forrester, he's part of that Shanahan loyalty tree. So you got to be a part of the good boys club. And if you are, you get chances. 100%. Now, I've waited for this. I have waited for this. From Thomas, my man. I think I saw him in the chat earlier. He emailed me. He said, I'm interested to know, is Connor Colby legit? I want to go back to my 1990s days and my MC Hammer reference of the show. Let me see if I should practice this. Too legit to quit. Did I do it right? Yeah, it was like on was it Ninja Turtles or something like that? One of those soundtracks. too legit to quit. Right? Y'all remember that? Connor Colby. I don't understand. Okay, so like, I'm going to go back to my pre-draft write-up on Connor Colby. And like, I liked Connor Colby. I think I had like a fourth or fifth round grade on him. I liked Connor Colby. This was my the Niners drafted him before whatever. This is what I wrote on him, okay? At our little 49ers rush, whatever. Speed, experience, perfect zone fit. Short area quickness, A+. Gets to second level consistently. Anchor is good, not great. Great combo blocker, gets movement when he needs to. One of the more athletic guards in this class. Loved that he has so much experience in the zone scheme already. Now, here was my negative. This was before he ever played for us, okay? Needs more consistency in pass pro. A little slow redirecting, which means I'm going this way. Oh, stunt's coming. Got to go back out. And recovery doesn't match his athleticism. The way he tested was like, whoo, this dude can move. That was all before we drafted him, right? I locked my stuff down. We've done it for so many years. Like, I want to know what I saw. Now, going through the tape, two's badass. He is so good that I struggle with finding weaknesses in his game. It's there. There was one play in particular, and guess what? It was a redirection play, which means it's a stunt. Guy crosses his face. The defensive tackle crosses his face towards Trent Williams. So he helps Trent out too much. Trent don't need your help, Connor. Your job's not to protect Trent Williams. So he closed his shoulders and his hips, right? You want to keep them parallel to the line of scrimmage and at least your head and inside hand on a swivel, right? So he's going to his left towards Trent and close that shoulder and hip to the point where, look, if somebody crosses you that hard, somebody's going to replace. And the defensive end came all the way under, crossed his face. He tries to open up. It's too late. The technique's bad. The redirect wasn't there. Got a pressure on Mac Jones. Didn't hit him. Didn't negatively affect the play. But that was it. That was it. And, like, it's funny because I went through film. I saw the question from a man, Thomas. I wrote it down, and I was like, you know what? I want to go back and look at my draft write-up, and I'm curious what the weaknesses were. And again, I wrote in there, needs more consistency in pass pro, a little slow redirecting and recovery doesn't match his athleticism. Dude, the tape just showed that. That was the only negative. I am being so damn picky right now. I am being so I wanted to just answer, I don't know what his damn weakness is. Now, you can't do that. That's not, I mean, I guess you could, but what is that going to get you? Like, why did we watch all this tape? You know what I mean? Like, let's make it count. Now, he had a 61.2 grade. He had a 73.1 run pass blocking grade, a 55.4. But, man, there were so many plays in pass pro where Connor Colby's by himself, where, and that was kind of the Saints' plan. Because everybody knows the 49ers protection rules, where if you show overload to the offensive right side, Jake Brindle is going to give a Bravo call. What I don't know what their actual terminology is, but block right, right? Everybody's blocking right. Which means if you have an outside rusher on the left side, Connor Colby's going to be on his own. That dude was one-on-one consistently, no problem in pass pro. His only issue was handling the slants, the stunts. So good. Aaron, thank you so much. Appreciate the comment, man. He says, that draft book is awesome. I drafted Tucker Kraft in Dynasty League in 2023, and it's going to pay for my membership. My man, go get paid, dude. Go get paid. Go get paid. JFA is Johnny Football Academy, the best ever. Yes. Yeah, he is the absolute best. Great human. Knows more tape than I do. I coached for over a decade. That dude knows more about like the scheme and all that stuff. I approach everything just from my coaching experience, right? That comes through probably on the show sometimes more than others. But yeah, Johnny Football, dude. Woo, red hot, that dude. He's freaking awesome. Great dude. So Connor Colby's legit. I don't think he's losing this starting job. I know that Ben Bartsch got moved to IR and that sucks. What makes it even worse is Spencer Burford's now going to be out probably for a week or two. He got hurt on one of the extra points. Like, you want your backup is Drew Moss? Probably not. Probably not. I like Drew Moss. Probably going to be Nick Sekel. But they did start moving Drew Moss over to left guard. So he's got snaps there in the preseason. I want it to be Drew Moss. But again, if I go back to that thing, the negative, I like Drew Moss. Oh, I like Drew Moss. Yeah, and right here, Ben, this is how Pooney got his shot. That's right. Oh, look at that back-to-back Hamilton reference. I'm not throwing away my shot. Let's go. Get it done, Connor. Get it done. Ah, D-U-N, baby. Let's go. So, fun show. Man, I really enjoyed it. I got so many more notes. I'm going to have to push some of this to tomorrow with Ant. Coach Approach tomorrow at 10. I can totally feel my voice going out. We did an hour and 10 minutes here. I hope you enjoyed it. We got a lot more content. No events this weekend. John Chapman just gets to relax and sleep a little bit, spend a little family time. You guys are the absolute best. I'm so thankful for this opportunity. Thank you for spending your time with me. It's not lost on me that you chose to spend your time with us in the 49ers Rush program. And I just want to say thank you. We are forever indebted to you. And if you ever want anything, please reach out. I finally got through all my emails from the last two trips. I apologize if I did not get back to you in sufficient time. But now I'm caught up. 49ersRushPodcast@gmail.com. You let me know. And until next time, you guys are unbelievable. And as always, look at the hat. Stay strong, faithful.
Emoji moment from Mark, who writes, I just want to thank you for making GLP-1s affordable. What would have been over $1,000 a month is just $99 a month with Mochi. Money shouldn't be a barrier to healthy weight. 3 months in, and I have smaller jeans and a bigger wallet. You're the best. Thanks, Mark. I'm Myra Amid, founder of Mochi Health. To find your Mochi moment, visit joinmochi.com.
Mark is a Mochi member compensated for his story.
Emoji moment from Sadie, who writes, I'm not crying, you're crying. This is what I said during my first appointment with my physician at Mochi, because I didn't have to convince him I needed a GLP-1. He understood, and I felt supported, not judged. I came for the weight loss and stayed for the empathy. Thanks, Sadie. I'm Myra Amid, founder of Mochi Health. To find your Mochi moment, visit joinmochi.com.
Sadie is a Mochi member compensated for her story.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreestyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreestyleLibre.us.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.